We thank you for our brother. Thank you for giving him a hunger and a delight for your word. And thank you for the joy he has in sharing your word with us. We ask right now for an anointing on him, for your spirit to be on him, to speak to us, to exhort us, to stir us up, to encourage us, to comfort us, to strengthen us. Lord, speak to us, your people, the word of God through your servant this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Salve, Christian.
All right. You guys, I want to start out on a serious note. God is absolutely amazing. Amen? Well, about 2-3 days ago, I got a word. And God was saying, hey, Christian, I want you to share this. And something that we've been going over in youth pertained to what God wanted me to share with you guys today. And I was struggling with it because I was thinking, well, is that me or is it really God? You know, I mean, is it something that I want to express or is it something that God really wants me to express? And then last night we got together and Jay and Amy were playing Christmas carols and Amy said something and I'm like, okay, God, I got it, okay? And here it is. You guys, I love Christmas. I really do. I love Christmas. As a matter of fact, I'm playing the part. I grew the beard. I'm fat. I'm jolly, right? I love Christmas. But not everybody feels the same way about Christmas as I do. And there might be people in this room right now that are lonely, that are depressed, not feeling loved at this time, at the greatest time of the year, the one time where everybody's Christian almost, right? You know, there's someone in this room right now that may not feel that love, may feel lonely, may feel depressed. And I just want to tell you, this is what God wanted me to tell you, is I love you. Christian Twombly loves each and every one of you. Now, that doesn't make me special. That doesn't make me above anybody, because if you look around in this room, there is a room full of people who feel the same way about you that I do. So if you're feeling lonely, if you're feeling depressed, if you're feeling that this season is weighing you down, look around this room. You've got tons of brothers and sisters here that want to love and pick you up. Amen? Okay, all right. So that's kind of tough for me because I had to be serious. So anyways, up on the screen here, yes, this is what we're talking about to start off. Now, I want, show of hands, please. How many of you love going to the store and instead of saying Merry Christmas, they say Happy Holidays? How many of you love that? Okay, right on. So I'm not alone. I was thinking I was weird and I was going to get booed off the stage. But at this time of the year, I love saying Merry Christmas because we know what Christmas means to us. We celebrate the birth of Christ, our hope, our salvation, our everything, right? Now, what I think is so wonderful about Christmas is this is one time out of the year where everybody's pretty much, for the most part, happy and jolly. And so, Merry Christmas. I love saying it. Merry Christmas. I'll see somebody on the street. Instead of saying hello, I'll say Merry Christmas. And I catch myself when I go to the store. Yes, I do go to Walmart. When I go to Walmart, I'm having a great time shopping. I'm looking at everything that's going on. And you get to the cashier. That's when my attitude becomes like an Old West gunslinger, right? You guys with me, right? You're sitting there, you're like, all right, if he says Happy Holidays, I'm gonna slap him right across the face with a Merry Christmas, right? I know I'm not alone. I can see one person right there nodding. Yeah, I'm pointing at you, drummer. Okay, so that is the attitude that I go shopping with. Is that the right attitude? No, right? No. Yeah, I should be happy. But I'll tell you what, I still catch myself going there, boom, 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 ready. So here's what's really funny about this. God has given me this thing lately where I love to look up words and their meanings. I love to do that. And sometimes it's a stumbling block for me. As I'm reading, a word jumps out at me and I have to stop what I'm doing to find out the definition of that word. So Happy holidays, you guys, is an old English word, holidag. And it literally means holy day, referring to special religious days, days dedicated to God. Ooh, isn't that awesome? They try to take Christ out of Christmas, and they introduce holy days. Right? I mean, how awesome is that? Now when I go to Walmart, I'm like, go ahead, say holidays. Go ahead. The joke's on you, right? So I shouldn't be upset when I hear happy holidays. Happy holidays is awesome, right? Now next, if you look up there, you see Merry Xmas. Oh yeah, I'm getting boos already. Merry Xmas. Now, I know somebody in this room who absolutely hates to see that, and I married that person. Okay? I'm not going to say her name, Shani Twombly. Okay? She hates attention. She's sitting over there. She hates to see Xmas. You know what? You know what? I kind of envision in my head, when she sees Xmas like that, she's seeing the Ghostbusters symbol, you know, the circle with the slash through it, right through Christ. Like people are trying to remove Christ from Christmas. And there's a lot of people who say that they write Xmas because they're removing Christ from Christmas. Christ is a fictional character and he shouldn't be involved in my special day. Me, I used to write Xmas because it was shorter. I'm lazy. But when I became a Christian, I write out Christmas. I don't put Xmas anymore. And there's a lot of us that feel the same way as my wife, right? Xmas. Xmas is not right. Christmas is what it's about, right? Okay, so if you see the fish right there. Yes, Christian worked the fish into this sermon too, okay? That is how you spell fish in Greek. I-X-O-Y-E, fish. What it stands for, it's an acronym. It stands for Jesus Christ, God's Son and Savior. I-X-O-Y-E. Now, if we pay attention real quick, what is the second letter in that? X. Xmas. X. Christ. X. Christmas. Oh, so when somebody's putting Xmas, it's the same thing as happy holy days. You cannot take Christ out of Christmas. Right? You can't take God out of something that's about God. Right? It's awesome. I love that. And I had to share that with you guys. It has nothing to do with, no, I'm just kidding. But anyways, I had to say that because it's so amazing that you cannot take Christ out of Christmas, no matter how hard they try. And it's the same thing with our walks in lives. People are going to try to make you believe that Christ doesn't exist. He shouldn't be involved in schools. Well, I'll tell you what. You know, it's like this meme that you see. Some guy writes a letter to God and says, hey, how come you allow so much violence in schools? And this is happening and that's happening. God simply writes back, because I'm not allowed in schools. It's so true, right? When you take God out of there, there's godlessness. And godlessness is nothing but chaos. Don't let them take Christ out of Christmas for you guys, all right? Now, speaking of Christmas, oh wait, where was I? Oh, well, I kind of wanted to touch on the fish again just because, you know, I love fish. I love seafood. Salmon, if you guys ever invite me to dinner, it's my favorite. Matthew 4, 19 and 20 says, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. So, ichthys, Greek fish, huge to us as Christians. Now, going back to words, I'm born and raised in Southern California, okay? So in that, I really thought I knew what the word Christmas meant. Pretty simple. Mexican culture is prevalent. I love Mexican food. I love Mexican culture. I love so much about the Mexican people that I thought I knew exactly what Christmas meant. Christ, mas, more Christ. right? So when I was looking up Christmas, I thought, dude, I already got this. I don't know why I'm wasting my time. But God said, no, Christian, come on, come look. Yeah, more Christ, that's good. But guess what? It means so much more, okay? Now, Christ, literally, Christ. I was right there, so I'm on a roll. I'm good. But Mass, M-A-S, is shortened for Mass. Now, I don't mean Mass like my girth, okay? What I mean is Mass like a church service. Ooh, all the Catholics in the house are like, yes, okay? But here's what's really cool about Mass. Mass is not just a church service. Mass is a church service where you take communion. So why would it be Christ Mass? Anybody? Because we're supposed to remember Christ at Christmas time. And we celebrate the birth. We celebrate the baby. But we need to celebrate the life of Christ. That's what Christ Mass is. And what's funny is, like, you look up Christmas and there's so many people debating Christmas. One guy, Catholic guy, was trying to argue about Christmas, that he did not like the term Christmas, because to him, Mass was celebrating the death of Christ. He actually said, it's Merry Christ Death Day, and didn't like that. I think that's absolutely ridiculous, right? It's absolutely ridiculous to try to say take something so joyous and make it something horrible. I love joy. And what's really great is there's two things missing in heaven where I want to go. I want to go to heaven. There's two things missing. Sin and the opposite of joy. Right? Anything that doesn't bring you joy is not going to be there. So don't let people take your joy here. Right? So, anyways, when we think about communion, we know that we're talking about when Christ was having the Last Supper, right? We know that we take the bread and we break it in remembrance of Jesus, right? Because he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Right? Now, I think about that. And Jesus, at that point, he was preparing his disciples for what was going to happen, right? That's what he was doing. He was letting them know exactly what was going to happen. And God has been letting us know about Christmas for thousands of years. Thousands of years. It's amazing. It's amazing, some of these things. And one of my favorite verses in the Bible that talks about Jesus is actually in Numbers. This is like one of my favorite Christmas stories in Numbers. It's Numbers 21, and it starts at verse 4. I'll read it to you. It says, "They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, 'Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There is no bread. There is no water. And we detest this miserable food.' Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, 'We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us.' So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, 'Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live.' So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole, and then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived." Great Christmas story, right? Okay? Now, let's break down this story a little bit. We know what the people had just gone through. They were in slavery. Now, when I think of slavery, I don't think it was anything great, okay? I really don't think of slavery as a great thing, because when you're a slave, you have to be told when you can go to the bathroom. You're told when you can do something, when you can't do something. You're told who you're going to love, who you're not going to love, who you're going to be with, who you're not going to be with, where your family is going to be. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I absolutely love my family. And the thought of me being separated from my family hurts. Can you imagine you having your family and they say, hey, Ron, we're going to take Bryce. I just traded Bryce for a basket of bread. So he's going to go live with these people now. You're not going to see him anymore. That's what slavery is. That's what being a servant is. You have no choice in your own life. They went through that. God said, hey, Moses, I want you to let your people go. Moses said, hey, I'm not the right guy for it. And God said, yes, you are. And what did he do? He went in there, right? God sends plagues, and they had Passover, and the hard heart of the Pharaoh, and the splitting of the sea, and everything so that these people could be free. Everything that God did, he did for his people so they could be free. And here we are, we're listening right away. They're complaining about food and water. If you look in the chapter right before this, Moses taps his staff on a rock, and water comes out of a rock. This is God. God can make water come out of a rock for these people. And they're complaining. They're complaining. When we were in Egypt, you know, we had food, we had bread. What? Right? What? You have everything now. And they're complaining about detestable food. Manna from heaven. Manna from heaven gives you everything you need, all the nutrients you need to survive. They didn't have to go out and hunt. They didn't have to till the ground and work until they had blisters on their hands. They didn't have a master's whip at their back. But they're complaining. They're whining. They're crying. They're, no, woe is me. Why would you take us out of Egypt where we had bread? Right? So what does God do? God sends out serpents, venomous snakes. And they go out and they start biting people and killing people. And right away, they're like, oh, we did something wrong. We did something wrong. Moses, pray to God for us. Now, it would have been so easy for God to say, all right, you guys know what you did wrong. You're repenting. Okay, snake's gone. But instead, he had Moses make a brass serpent and put it on a stick so that everybody that saw it would live. Right? Who else do we know that was posted on a stick that we could go to and live? Right? It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And some people, when they read this, they don't think of that. But these people had this for thousands of years. They knew that Jesus was coming. They knew the importance of the snake. In fact, at one point, they actually lost sight of what that snake was about and started worshiping the snake, the bronze idol. And it was cast down. But this is a prophecy that we're reading. It's talking about Jesus Christ coming. And the snakes, what do you think the snakes represent? Represent our sin. That means to me, every single one in this room has been bit by a venomous snake. Right? Every single one of us has been bit by a venomous snake. And we looked to the cross, right? We looked to Jesus Christ to relieve us of that venom, of that poison. He took all that poison, all that venom from us on the cross with him, didn't he? Conquered the grave. We all know the end of the story, right? It's absolutely amazing. Now, like we talked about removing Christ from Christmas, how many of you have seen that sign up there? See the one with the two snakes? That is a medical symbol. Now, I'm not talking about all doctors, okay? But growing up as a kid, I remember that my doctors were the exact opposite of Christians. They believed everything could be figured out through science. And now that I've been a Christian for a while, I'm hearing stories about doctors praying with patients. You know, doctors suggesting that they pray. which is amazing because back when I was a kid, I don't remember any doctor ever saying that to me. In fact, it was a godless field. Yet, if you look at their logo, what is it? It's snake on a stick. Okay? If you look at an ambulance today, I think an ambulance is the better portrayal of it because it's one snake on a stick. If you think about that, you can't take Christ out of Christmas. Where does our healing come from? It comes from God, right? It comes from God. So every time you see an ambulance, you're like, oh my gosh, God is in that. Oh my gosh, right? You can't take God out of it. So, this bronze snake, we're going to go even further with this. The bronze snake, what's really cool is after all these people, let's backtrack a little bit more, sorry, is take note that they had to go and see the snake to live. They had to go to the snake. Now, us, in order for our redemption, we have to go to Christ, don't we? There is no way to the Father but through me. It's another word picture. Now, after this whole ordeal with the snakes, they took that bronze snake and they affixed it to a standard, okay? A battle standard. Now, a battle standard is basically a big pole that has a cross beam with two flags down it. What's really cool about that is if you take away the flags and you take away the snake, guess what it looks like? Looks like a cross. Now, this battle standard, from the research that I went to, was simply two flags. Can you guys guess what color those flags were? They were red. They were red. They were red standards. So the blood is even represented. And these people were carrying around with them until they lost sight of what it really was and started worshiping the snake, worshiping the sin. How many people do we know that worship sin? I know I was one, right? If it felt good, I didn't care if it was right or wrong. It was right. That's the way it was. So we need to look to the cross. We need to live our lives worthy of Christ's death, right? Christmas shouldn't be just one day out of the year. We should live Christmas. We should want to live Christmas every single day. Every single day I should walk up, Merry Christmas. I just wanted to share that God speaks to us and that he speaks to his people with stories inside stories. Take your time and read what God has for you in this Bible, in this gift that he gives us. The Bible literally stands for basic instructions before leaving earth, right? Pick it up, read it, and see what God's got in there for you. If you get stuck on a word, research that word, because there's going to be something amazing. And then what's really cool about that, when you go through and you find something like that, and it's a total gem, oh, tell me. Let me know what it is. Let's sharpen some iron, right? Let's go through this. What's kind of cool is we can take our lives and experiences that we've been through, and we can liken it to coal, right? A lump of coal. Who wants a lump of coal in their stockings? But when you realize you're at your lowest point, what does God do? God applies pressure to you. What happens when you apply pressure to coal? It becomes a diamond. So let's take our coals and become diamonds. Amen?